You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good Friday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. No Danny today. His vacation is underway. He is in the Outer Banks, probably already got his toes in the sand. He's been there for a few hours. And he'll be out next week as well, so I will be solo with you until Danny returns a week from Monday. Much-deserved vacation. Got a good show planned for you today. I'm excited about it. At 4 o'clock, I'm giving away a pair of tickets to Kid Rock and Foreigner. You can win those tickets. You got to be listening. And then at the top of the hour, at 5 o'clock as well, we'll give away a final pair of tickets, Kid Rock and Foreigner. So two pairs today, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Make sure you are listening. You can win those tickets right here on Grant and Danny. Where to begin, you say? Well, there's a lot going on dating back to last night in sport. First of all, preseason action, baby. We saw football last night. Took a little longer. We waited all offseason. Then we had to wait about 40 minutes for the torrential downpour to pass. But when it did, the game was played. It was more Jarrett Stidham than you probably wanted. A lot more Nick Mullins than maybe you bargained for. The best players on both teams, for the most part, didn't perform. And so for that reason, preseason football, when it's not the team you care about, Washington, isn't nearly as exciting, but there is just something to seeing a nationally televised NFL broadcast again. There is something to getting to see Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth welcome us in with Melissa Stark back on the sideline. I start firing off texts to buddies. I start working fantasy football trades in my dynasty leagues. We're starting to plan our next fantasy football get-together. Football season, man. That is when it officially begins. Like, we go through the process. We go through the duration of trying to, you know, get back to having real conversations about things that matter. Training camp, practices, the anecdotes from one camp practice or another. Really, it's about the first game being played. Preseason game, Jacksonville and Vegas, and now we're back. So last night, there's nothing really that stood out to me necessarily. There's nothing I took away from that game. I guess my only observation was I was stunned to see Josh Jacobs playing. Josh Jacobs is good. He's a starter. He can play in the league. He's going to get touches for the Raiders this year. He's going to make their roster. I don't understand why he was playing. They gave a bunch of dudes who were important the day off and said, but Josh Jacobs, we need you to get on the bus and make sure that you are ready to play when we kick off. Didn't really get that. Otherwise, just a bunch of dudes that I barely know trying to improve their chances at the roster spot that they've been fighting for the last couple weeks. That's what it's supposed to look like. But as heard on NBC last night, Tirico and company calling Jarrett Stidham and the Raiders just pouring it on Jacksonville.
But he's never had the chance to coach in this game. Loving that tonight. Third and eight for Stidham. He's flushed. He's got space to run for the first down and run for the touchdown. Jarrett Stidham's had a very good half in his Raider day.
That's pretty much everything you didn't know. When Jarrett Stidham's lighting up the world, you're like, okay, wake me up when the games are more important and better players are on the field. But he actually did look okay. Even a couple of his incompletions, he was 8 of 15. He dropped in the bucket and guys couldn't haul in on what was a wet night. In Canton, Ohio. At one point, Collinsworth said, you know, the Raiders look really good. And then about 5 minutes later, the Jaguars look really bad. Let's not make a whole lot out of a preseason game when almost all the starters sat. That would be my one takeaway from the game, is that there was think pieces being done on how much farther along year one the Raiders are now, I'm sure, under Josh McDaniels than the Jaguars under Doug Peterson. Everyone just slower rolls a little bit. Last night wasn't like a scouting opportunity where Rivera and his staff are all sitting around taking notes for the week one opponent as they played in a preseason game. Elsewhere last evening in a game that did matter in the standings, the Nationals were playing the Phillies. Phillies are now 9 over .500 going into that game, I should say. And they get a win. Game didn't even last five innings. I hate this. This is a rule that needs to be changed tomorrow. You can't play 4.5 innings and call it official. I've never really understood that. It's a one-run game. The Nats have scored two in the fifth. They've got momentum. They're down one run, and then you don't play again from the sixth inning on, and we just end the night. I'm not okay with that. And I understand that the Nationals, frankly, winning baseball games is irrelevant right now. They're 36-71. They're probably better off losing games. My point has nothing to do with the fact that I'm upset that the Nationals lost. Paolo Espino pitched, and Yadiel Hernandez batted cleanup in a game where a couple of guys from the Rochester lineup for the last 3 months were fixtures for Washington. I'm not losing sleep over the loss, but I've long thought that this idea that if you just play 4.5 innings and the home team is leading, that they can end the game, not okay. They out-hit Philly 11-7. They're down to one run. They're in the fifth inning. You should pick that game up today and finish it and then play the next game. I'd like to see that altered. But it was the Luke Voit show last night. First game for Luke Voit as a Washington National. He had two hits and scored a run. He drove in a run. Welcome to the nation's capital, Luke Voit.
And now Robles breaks for third. The pitch swung on. Little looper out of the shallow left. A base hit over the head of Stott. Rounding third and coasting in to score is Victor Robles. And the Nationals lead 1-0. With Robles breaking to steal third of the pitch, Voit gets the bat on it and loops one into shallow left center for a base hit in his first Nationals at bat.
Voit's first AB results in that run. He would score one, as I said, later, and was in the middle of everything for them offensively in his first game. I kind of liked what he said in the clubhouse yesterday, too. Because remember, he was not supposed to be in this Soto trade. San Diego struck the deal. The Nationals wanted the five prospects. The sixth player coming back was going to be a major leaguer, and I don't think they cared that much who it was. They agreed on, you know, a handful of names that San Diego was going to choose from. And Rizzo confirmed this on the Junkies this week. Originally, the Padres wanted to send Eric Hosmer, who said, no, I'm not going to Washington, and he had a no trade. So then the Pods had to go back to the drawing board, and then they just kind of threw some names in a blender, and Luke Voit was the name going back to Washington. So the poor guy goes from having a chance to play in front of a sold-out crowd in San Diego every night, having a chance to compete for a playoff spot and maybe a World Series title, to come in here to play for the worst team in baseball right now. And he could have absolutely said the first time he spoke, yeah, this isn't a great situation. I'll be here as long as I need to be. And I'm in the business of winning. I'm a veteran. I want to get somewhere else where I can win again soon. He didn't do that. He said all the right things. And it seems like, at least publicly, he is willing to help coach up some of these young guys and be a leader in this clubhouse for now.
You know, obviously a little bit surprising. Obviously, you never know what can happen in this game. And, you know, it was a kind of a weird trade going on. And, you know, obviously the no-trade clause with Haas. And, you know, I obviously didn't expect to get traded. And then, you know, right before our doubleheader, I found out like 10 minutes before the game. So, you know what? It's a fresh start. Get a lot of new faces. I'm excited about a new opportunity.
You were surprised. What was your initial reaction once the surprise set in, wore off?
Well, I mean, it's just because, you know, this is a younger team, and, you know, I'm surprised they wanted, like, a veteran guy. But, you know, I'm here to, you know, help out in any way I can. And, obviously, I want to play this game as long as I can. So I'm excited to come over here and, you know, break with these guys and, you know, obviously be a leader in the clubhouse and, you know, help these young guys become the best that they can be.
Luke Voit hit 22 homers in sub-60 games in that pandemic season in 2020. I don't expect him to produce in some major way. It's really hard to do that, as we've seen this year with Soto hitting in the middle of a really bad lineup without a whole lot of protection. So whatever he was able to do, you know, in San Diego, which wasn't a whole lot, frankly, before he got moved, you're probably going to have a hard time even replicating that here. But this season, he's got 13 homers, which is more than anyone else on the Nationals. Lane Thomas is their leader with 10 before he showed up. hitting about 230 with a 740 OPS, but he's a career 840 OPS guy. He can drive the ball. He can produce runs. So there's plenty of reason when you are devoid of major league talent right now to feel good about adding Luke Voit to the middle of the lineup. And at least for yesterday, with Robles, who's had a little bit of a resurgence here lately, another multi-hit game for him, Luis Garcia, who's going to be a building block, your second baseman batting second, then Voit hitting third, and K-Bert Ruiz catching and hitting fifth. For the most part, the top five spots in the order, there is some intrigue, and there is some, I would say, reason to watch, because in the cases of Garcia and Ruiz, those guys matter a whole lot moving forward. In the case of Robles, if he's able to have a strong finish to the year, either maybe he is back here next year, or if he's not, no problem. You can flip him for something this offseason. And then Voit, anything that's new is interesting. Now, I can't help you a whole lot after the fifth spot in the order. Things drop off pretty substantially from an appeal standpoint if you're a fan watching the Nationals. But they lose last night 5-4 to the Phillies, which brings us then to the Commanders. And here's where I wanted to start today on the phones. We can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. So I've been scouring all of the reporting and all of the stories that have been written out of Ashburn over the last couple of days. Frankly, I put the Commanders on the back burner like a lot of you did for about 48 hours. And I was monitoring from afar. Something major happened. I was going to figure out what it was and break it down best I could. But Juan Soto took center stage for me in DC sports from about Sunday through Wednesday night, I would say. But I've spent now the last couple days getting back after it, getting up to speed on everything going on with the Commanders. And what I wanted to do was get a feel for now 1.5 weeks into camp, what your biggest concern with this team is. Because I've got to say, I feel like where maybe they don't have an extremely high ceiling at every position group or overall as a team, there's no expectation of a Super Bowl or a conference title game this year. I think a lot of people feel like if they could win 9 or 10 games, it wouldn't be a stunner. If they were able to win a playoff game for the first time since I was in high school, I'm now 34 with 2 children, a wife, and a mortgage. No, that wouldn't be shocking. They're in a decent place. But for all of the hope and some of the professionally built areas of the roster, I am curious what you are worried about. Because generally, when we go into a year around here, thinking the team can be pretty good. I remember the last time I had 10-win expectations, which I have slapped on this team this year, partially because I think they upgraded substantially at quarterback from a 7-win team last year that probably could have won 8 or 9 if not for the injuries and COVID issues that set in late in the season. But specifically and more importantly because of their schedule and how down the conference is and how mediocre the division is. Like my 10-win vote for Washington has a lot more to do with the things they don't control, to be completely honest with you, than the things that they do. But I believe 9 wins, which would be fine, should be the expectation. I think if they do things well and kind of exceed a little bit of what we expect, they should comfortably be a 10-win team. Anything less than 9 games, anything fewer than that would be ultra disappointing to me. But I say that to tell you that there are still some concerns with this team at training camp. And I'm going to sort through some of the things that I would consider are areas where I do worry a little bit. But I want to hear from you guys at 800-636-1067 to know what is your biggest concern with the Commanders after some of the tracking you've been doing of practices now through 9 sessions. You can tweet me at Grant H. Paulson if that's the easiest way to get through, or you can call me at 800-636-1067. So let's just brainstorm here. When I used to write papers in high school, I had a teacher who would just write a bunch of things in like a writing web on the board, and then we'd go back through and kind of put the paper together. Areas that could be a concern, I think realistically, include linebacking depth, where they did nothing this offseason to shore up a group that wasn't particularly good last year. In fact, they told us ad nauseum that they were going to add linebackers later, and now it's later. They kept saying, hey, we're going to add a linebacker. Okay, cool. No problem. It's only June. Fine. It's only early July. Camp's at the end of the month. Well, it's the start of camp, but you will. Now it's August 5th. And that isn't to say that there aren't linebackers out there or that they can't still do it, but there has been this belief, based on what they've said, that they're going to bring in more talent, and they haven't yet. And I'm just kind of sitting around waiting. And personally, I'm not sure that what you've assembled on your roster is good enough. So that would be a possible answer. I think Curtis Samuel still not being able to practice consistently should be a concern. Now, I am in wait-and-see mode. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to be overly worried about this. But I spent much of the offseason on these airwaves telling you guys that year two of Curtis Samuel would look like year one was supposed to. I spent a lot of the last several months telling you guys on this show that I was confident that Curtis Samuel would have a bounce back, a renaissance season, and that their offense would benefit immensely from him becoming the weapon he was supposed to have been last year in his first year in Washington. He is a versatile, multiple player. And what I mean by that is he can play wide out on the outside and in the slot and be in the backfield. He's really a unique positionless potential impact option. You can't just say, well, that's okay, we've got De'Ami Brown, or you can't just say the Commanders, they can fill in for Curtis Samuel because they have, no. They have one guy with that skill set. They have one guy who they signed to double-digit $1 million per year coming off of a big season in Carolina. Frankly, it was a couple really good years in a row. And they were intrigued by him because they'd worked with him. Rivera had been around him. Scott Turner knew his strengths and his weaknesses. And they basically built part of this offense around what he was going to give them last year. And then he gave them nothing. He still isn't able to get on the practice field with consistency. And they're saying, don't worry about it, not a big deal. They said that last year. But you could tell me that's one of your biggest concerns, and I'm not going to tell you that you're crazy. I happen to not be concerned about the offensive line. I know that there is some growing worry about that group, mostly because of health. I think we can all agree. Last year, PFF had him as the number six line in the league, and they lost Brandon Scherff to Jacksonville, who didn't play last night in the preseason opener. They lost Eric Flowers, who they cut. And it wasn't like those two guys rolled out and they were desperately trying to keep them. I mean, they moved on from both, and I thought it was the right decision. But those were two really solid offensive linemen. They've replaced them with guys that might be minimal downgrades. I still think they're a middle-of-the-pack line. I still think they're going to be fine. But Chase Roullier has not come all the way back yet to the point where he's playing routinely 11-on-11 and getting through full practices. Cornelius Lucas and Trey Turner have both missed time over the last week. Or you're starting to wonder. In Lucas's case, he was put on that non-football injury list at the start of camp, and then Turner just hadn't been able to get up to speed yet. It's kind of a seeing-is-believing thing, I would say, with the offensive line. If you're worried about them, it's because 60% of the line, non-tackles, guard, center, guard, hasn't been together yet, and it's a completely reworked trio. So at some point, you need to see that. You want to see that those guys can start to build that bond and get on the same page, and there's some cohesion that's necessary there. So I would understand that if that's on your short list of concerns. It's not really on mine, but I do want to see them on the field. And then the last thing, I'm just making a list top of my head here spitballing, would be Carson Wentz. If you're not buying what Ron Rivera is selling. Ron Rivera, his front office, Team Marty, they are very high on Wentz. The reports out of practice have been that he has been kind of exactly what you'd anticipate, frankly, based on the last couple years and a guy on his third team in 3 years. Inconsistent. And that his accuracy has been at times problematic. If you want to tell me that analytically speaking, his accuracy numbers the last couple of years worry you, specifically last season, and that the reports out of practice aren't quelling those concerns, I'm not going to rebut that. Because even though I believe Wentz is an upgrade over Heinicke and a reason to assume they'll be better this year, and even though I think he gets a little bit of a raw deal because he's one of the easiest guys in the league for whatever reason to make fun of and he's become a punching bag, I also think that he's probably the 20th best starter in the NFL or something like that. He's not above reproach, and there are major flaws. There are warts here. There are holes in his game. And accuracy is something that I think is going to be an issue from time to time. That's why Indy was trying to surround him with catch radius guys, because he's kind of throwing to an area, not necessarily to hit the target. But those are just things top of my head. I'm going to tell you which of them is my biggest concern next, and I want to take calls on that. We'll fill up the phones. MGM National Harbor listener lines. I want to hear from you in a moment on Grant and Danny without Danny today. 800-636-1067. We have seen 9 practice reports come out. Your biggest concern about Washington as we close in on preseason game number 1 next week. This is The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are almost 10 days into Commanders training camp. As I welcome you back, Grant Paulson today solo on Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. 1.5 weeks in, what is your biggest concern about this Commanders roster? It's Commanders operation moving forward. In fact, tomorrow night they're at FedEx Field for their big practice in front of fans. Could be a great opportunity to go out and see the team if you are around FedEx tomorrow evening. I just told you there's a bunch of options for you here. I don't think they have massive deficiencies or any glaring holes, which is why I think they're going to be around 500. I've actually got them on the right side of 500. I think they win 9 or 10 games, and my reasoning is their schedule is Charmin soft and the division's not particularly good, and the conference, for the first time in a long time, took a huge step back this offseason. But I still see a couple of areas that give me pause. And I'm going to circle linebacker depth, where Cole Holcomb's playing the mic, and Cole Holcomb is fine. I don't have an issue necessarily with him. But on what I consider to be a championship-level defense, you want Cole Holcomb to be, you know, your eighth best defender. You want Cole Holcomb to be a guy that you're hoping elevates his game a little bit to catch up to everyone around him. Cole Holcomb's a linchpin. He is the king of the linebacking core. I mean, he's one of the most important guys in the back seven for this team. If Chase Young's healthy and on the field, he's got a chance to be a star. John Allen's a Pro Bowler. You know, Daron Payne's really good. Montez Sweat is awesome. But beyond that defensive line, on the back end, you've got Cam Curl. And then a bunch of guys that you're hoping play pretty good football. So it's no different really to me than having a fourth starter type in a major league rotation pitch for you on opening day. It's not a big deal if Patrick Corbin is your number 5 starter. But when he starts on opening night against the Mets and he's your number 1, your rotation's not that good. Cole Holcomb, as a standalone linebacking option, I'll sign up to play that guy all the time. He plays really hard. He's smart. When he gets to you, you're going to the ground. He's a short tackler. He's got decent speed. There's a lot I like. He is a massive success story as a 5th-round pick. But you don't want him to be the guy at linebacker. And oh, by the way, Jamin Davis is in his 2nd year, the 1st-round pick last year, and there are plenty of snaps where he's watching David Mayo in practice get first-team reps. Now, that's not to say that Jamin Davis right now is on the verge of not being a starter in week one. I think you can kind of sometimes overthink the rotations during practices, particularly in the first couple weeks of training camp. But I know this. If you are an unquestioned starter, you know, Kendall Fuller or somebody like that, you're not watching another guy get first-team reps when you're healthy. You're just not. So the fact that Jamin Davis doesn't get all the first-team reps next to Cole Holcomb in his second year as the 19th overall pick last year, I'm sorry, that's a little bit alarming to me. And then it's Mayo and Kalik Hudson and a bunch of guys that, you know, most of us wouldn't recognize if they were sitting on our laps, which would be weird if they were sitting on our laps, I will readily admit. Ideally, they won't be. This was Ron Rivera talking linebackers in Ashburn.
You see a lot of good positive things from Jamin right now. He's much more comfortable in what we're doing and how we're doing it. He's picked up the way we do things in terms of reads and drops. Reading through his drops and understanding the concepts is really big, and he's done a nice job with that. So very pleased with that. As with Cole, I mean, Cole's done a nice job stepping into the mic position from the start. You know, last year he was more of a Sam for us, a Will for us. And then, when JB got injured, you know, we moved him to mic, and he really showed very well. Now's an opportunity to work on that skill set. He's done a very good job.
I was talking to someone at practice today who said on back-to-back plays, Davis kind of stood out. And it was the first time all camp that in succession he made a couple of plays where he helped stuff someone at the goal line and then did something in coverage and made Wentz hold the ball one snap later. That's good to see. But Rivera is putting him over and talking about what they're seeing, and yet he's not getting 100% of the first-team reps. Those two things don't necessarily jive. Well, let's hear from Cole Holcomb, who is the veteran now in that linebacking room, and as I said, the best guy on the team at that position, talking about Jamin Davis in camp number two.
Jamin, he's progressing a lot. You know, I think I'm proud of where Jamin's at. I'm happy where he's at, and I think he's giving me a lot of confidence. You know, I don't have to worry about him. I don't have to think about him.
We'll see. I mean, I hope those guys are right, but that is my concern right now, is the linebacking position and linebacking depth. What about you guys? 800-636-1067 is how you can call me. Let's go to the phones. MGM, National Harbor Listener Lines. Alex is in Aspen Hill. What's up, Alex? How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
I'm good. You're on the radio. Let's do it.
Yeah, so I have a lot of concerns. Inside linebacker, secondary, the holes in the offensive line. We got Gibby wondering if he's going to be the same back. I see a lot of 10, 11 wins in playoffs on these team-appointed fans on Twitter that just put out bot tweets all day, act like they're on the payroll, trying to rah-rah everybody. But there's a lot of concerns, and Carson Wentz is a major concern, too. He's not going to be the MVP that he was. That's what we're all banking on.
I don't know that anyone's banking on him being the MVP or doing what he did in Philadelphia when he was on his ascent. Remember, he threw 33 touchdowns before he got hurt, played 13 games. And when you're referencing MVP, he's talking about the 11-2 Eagles in 2017 when he went down. And Wentz was leading the league in touchdown percentage and in QBR. And he actually finished third in MVP voting via the Associated Press despite missing the end of the year. And he probably would have won the Most Valuable Player award. I can't speak for everyone. I haven't heard a single person that I take seriously in the local media or the national media assume that he's going to be an MVP candidate this year. There might be fans who are hoping that. I haven't seen that. I'm not following them, I guess. But that's not a thing. That's not reality. What is reality is, could he be better than he was when he was a disaster at the end of his time in Philadelphia? Of course, we saw it last year in Indianapolis. And so then the question is, can he be better than he was with the Colts when they were 9-8 last year, when he threw 27 touchdowns and 7 picks and had a 94.6 rating and a 54.7 QBR, which was his highest QBR since 2019 with the Eagles, you know, bounced back after 2020. The question is that as good as it's going to get now? Or is there another area where he can grow another year away from that debacle of a season and multiple years away from his last serious injury? I think that's the real question with Wentz. The limitations for me are on accuracy. And I think some of what made him special, go back and watch the highlights against Washington over the years, were the athletic traits and the ability to extend plays and create and leave the pocket and just keep plays alive. I think some of those things for him, the faders have been turned down. You know, the Madden grade that you guys all care so much about on his play extension used to be a 90, and now it's a 77. And with that part of his game, which was so special, having come back to the pack, you know, the other stuff that he does was never really elite or plus for me. I think his greatest attribute this year will be his ability to get the ball down the field. And because of that, I'm buying stock in De'Ami Brown, who's been on the side field the last couple days. But I do think they'll be able to vertically push the football in a way that they just couldn't with Taylor Heinicke. That's the hope. Let's go to Shane, who's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Shane, we're trying to find your biggest concern about a week and a half into camp for the Commanders.
Well, happy Friday to you first. My biggest concern right now is Curtis Samuel has got to be the linebacker spot and maybe the center position too. But I'm more worried about that Curtis Samuels right now. We're paying him a good chunk of change for, you know, the production we got last year out of him. And, he, you know, we can't get two good practices in a row. I mean, are we going to cut him? Is he going to make the roster spot? That's what I'm worried about. I mean, at this point, it's ridiculous.
Well, they're not cutting him for a lot of reasons, but it wouldn't make a lot of sense to right now. And that's before you even get into the financial element of whether or not you'd be eating money and you know, a couple of years into a long contract. If you want to get out of the deal at the end of this football season, you could do that. And we are on a trajectory to that maybe happening, depending on what happens in his sophomore year with Washington. But I would just like to remind people of what he was in 2020 when he caught 77 passes for 850 yards and rushed over 40 times for 200 yards. He had a game where he was dynamic both as a pass catcher and a ball carrier at FedEx Field at the end of 2020. He caught a 40-yard pass, rushed for 40 yards on the ground on one carry. He's got the ability to really help them. Now, if he can't get on the field, who cares? And at the end of this year, then you cut bait and you move on. But I'm with you. He should be on the concerns list because how on earth is it possible? Why is it a thing that he is not able to practice every day without any kind of ramifications at this point? And if you want to say, okay, we'll spell him every two or three practices, fine. But we're talking about not even being able to practice on back-to-back days. I mean, he's like a reliever who's coming off TJ that's got all these rules where you can't pitch him on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and if he threw more than 10 pitches yesterday, then he needs to sit for 2 days. We're a year plus removed from surgery, like 13 months. This is not adding up. It doesn't really make sense. If you want to tell me one of your concerns for the Commanders, we can do that next, 800-636-1067. Remember, I got tickets to go see Kid Rock at 4 and Kid Rock and Foreigner at 5 o'clock as well. Logan Paulson's going to join me at that time. Next, you thought Kyler Murray versus the Cardinals was over, right? You thought when they got rid of the addendum in the contract that he didn't like, that that would be the last time these two sides were at odds? Not so fast. His coach said something I don't think he's going to like very much. Yesterday. You're listening to The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wait till you hear what Cliff Kingsbury had to say about something he asked Kyler Murray to do at practice this weekend. We'll get to that coming up in just a few. Grant and Danny, without Danny, you are listening to The Fan at 4 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. We've got a pair of tickets, top of each of those 2 hours today, to go see Kid Rock and Foreigner when they come through the area later this month. Matter of fact, the show is 3 weeks from today, so make sure you're listening at that time. We'll get into that Kyler Murray story in just a second. Dan's in Fairfax, wants to talk Commanders camp, week and a half in. Biggest concern for the Commanders, Dan, what do you got?
Hey, Grant, I'll never forget seeing you at the sports facility in Springfield. That was a lot of fun that day, and thank you for allowing me to get Clinton Portis's autograph.
You got it.
I got yours, too, so I got that going for me.
Hey, that's where that damaged the paper that it was written on, I think.
Yeah. What concerns me most is the injuries. Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas, Chase Young. If we can get those guys back soon, I think that makes us significantly better team. And one more thing I wanted to say. As for this season, there are a lot of questions. Carson Wentz, Curtis Samuel, and too many others to mention. We have a new team name, but the owner is the same, and we're not really sure of his intentions. I got a serious case of Ashburn syndrome. And totally, says JP, we should win 10 games. But by the end of the season, the story's the same. The first round exit from the playoffs again. Let's hope this year's different and we prove we can do it. At least we have Sir Sly instead of Chris Blewett. McLaurin and Dotson are two main reasons for a 10-7 record and a successful season. Thanks, guys.
It's been a while since we got a poem from Dan. Good to hear a Dan poem. That's how you know it's football season. There's a couple of different ways to know it's football season. One of them is that Fairfax Dan starts reading some poems on the show. Let's go to Matt, who's on the Air Force Base over in Andrews. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, Graham. Huge fan. Love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. So one main concern is, like, I just, like, hearing about it today with practice with we don't have a real RB1 just yet. Nothing to really help Wentz going forward. I'm like, we have Gibson, but everything I've heard, he's done, he's had two pretty bad fumbles, like today during contact. Like his first contact, he's already fumbling. And I like McKissick, but I don't think he's our every down kind of guy. But I think my big concern is, like, yes, we have all these injuries. We don't have a real run game yet, and it doesn't look like it's going to improve anytime soon. So appreciate it.
So I think this is an actually strong critique that I think a lot of fans disagree with, but while I'm not worried a whole lot about the running game specifically, I am fascinated by how the pecking order is going to sort itself out and how we're going to divvy up the carries in this town and what the Commanders are going to do as far as Gibson versus Robinson on running downs by year's end. I'm actually going to be talking about this today at 4:25, and I hope at that time to get a feel for how you guys are thinking about this. But Antonio Gibson put two balls on the carpet in practice today. I saw John Keim tweeting that on, I think it was consecutive carries, but it was in short order. There were back-to-back fumbles, and he lost them both. And maybe it was an exchange thing. Maybe it wasn't completely on him. But this is a guy who led the NFL and lost fumbles last year, who, despite not having one of the highest rates against eight-man boxes, you know, really, really struggled to pick up explosive gains. 4 yards per carry, fourth in the NFL in attempts last season, seventh in yards, one of only seven guys who rushed for 1,000, but only three guys ran the ball more than him. And if you're saying, oh, come on, you're too hard on Antonio Gibson, well, why did they draft a running back in the third round? Why did they break all the unwritten rules to pick up the phone and make sure J.D. McKissick didn't leave after he agreed to a deal in Buffalo and risk ruining a relationship with one of 31 front offices that you have to do business with? If they're just super content and happy with what's going on with Antonio Gibson, I really believe they know that there are yards left on the field, that there are things that they haven't been able to do at running back the last year or two that they need to. There's a reason McKissick gets so much work and is so involved. And now you go out and you draft a thumper to do some of the things that Gibson does in the third round when you had a lot of needs. That's telling. So we're going to get into that in the 4 o'clock hour. All right, let me pay off this tease, though. So Kyler Murray this weekend was seen calling plays at Cardinals practices at training camp. And a reporter who covers the Cardinals out west, Josh Weinfuss, actually writes for ESPN, asked Cliff Kingsbury why Kyler Murray was on the walkie-talkie voicing the plays into the younger quarterbacks on his day off on Saturday when he wasn't in on drills. Listen to this quote from Cliff Kingsbury. He said, I wanted him to know that, hey, this S ain't easy. Every now and then, he starts shaking his head when I'm calling it in there. I'm like, all right, go ahead, big dog, end quote. Yet again, making Kyler Murray look bad publicly. You had the story come out where, probably deservedly, they put into his contract that he needed to do his homework and actually study for games. And we finally got past that. They took the addendum out of the contract. Clearly, Murray was bothered by it, but damage done. And now you get past that, and he's calling plays at practice, which is not that abnormal. You could just say, oh, he's one of our leaders. You know, we wanted him to further, you know, master play calling, or he's going to have a lot of control at the line of scrimmage. We want him to work on that. Nope, just took a shot at him. Said, yeah, he gets annoyed when I call plays, and I want to let him know it's not that hard. So calm down when I'm calling plays. I just don't get this relationship. You gave him $160 million guaranteed, and then you say stuff like that. Grant and Danny on the Fan. What is going to break with Danny on vacation? I want to get into that. You know something big's going to happen. Plus, we'll talk Vin Scully as well. So beloved. What made him so special? You're listening to G&D.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.